The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk. Ask the Expert on The Pat Kenny Show.
Thanks to financialbroker.ie. No bias, no pressure. Just clear, concise, impartial financial advice.
Well, now, we are talking about dentistry and dental problems with Paul O'Dwyer, Group Clinical Advisor at Dental Care Ireland. Paul, good morning again.
Good morning, thanks, Beth.
So we'll get straight into these questions. Mm. How do I treat gums that have started to recede? The dentist did a descaling about 3 months ago and a monitoring to make sure things are not getting worse. But is there any way to undo the damage of gum recession?
Great question, and thank you for the question, caller. The big thing about gum recession is once it's in place, it's very hard to reverse, if at all. And the big things really are, and they've covered it themselves, is to monitor what's going on, to eliminate bad habits that could progress it even further. So, for example, smoking is a big one. So eliminate smoking if they are a smoker. Take a look at their diet. Sometimes dietary foodstuffs, particularly hard nuts or fibres, things like that, can mechanically push away our gum. So again, just watch your diet that's there. And then the big take-home message, which I think has got across to this listener, is rigorous maintenance. So brushing twice a day, flossing between their teeth, maybe using an interdental brush, and practicing all of those good habits. There is, you know, there's no real chance of reattachment of the periodontal ligament. And that's a fancy way of saying the scaffolding that goes around the tooth. But there may be some gingival regrowth. But the big thing really is maintenance. Keep going to their dentist to make sure.
Okay, a question about a three-year-old. The front tooth is going dark and very little sugar in her diet. She can't blame the sugar.
Okay. Okay, well, this is a good question. And again, my first question is, you poor creator, I hope the child is okay and not in any discomfort or pain. I have four daughters myself, and when twin girls we started with, so I've seen the boisterous run around of small children, so I'm on that team. So a couple of questions that I'll ask is, has there been any sleep disturbance or pain or discomfort of this tooth? I'm assuming not. But let's talk about a dark tooth. A dark front tooth, usually trauma. It could be a small bang or a fall. Three-year-olds at that age, of course, anything under 3 feet is a legitimate target, so they'll be running around quite a bit. If it is an injury, it will go dark slowly, usually, in which case it can indicate that the tooth is dying off. Now, in some cases, that does reverse. The big take-home for this particular parent, I assume, is to check for mobility. Is it mobile? Is it loose? Is there a danger of the child swallowing it, or worse, inhaling it? So if it's fixed in place and it's okay and they're chewing and biting okay, there's not that much discomfort, I would suggest a trip to the dentist purely just so we can do a follow-up to make sure. They may need to take an x-ray to make sure there's no fracture further down the route that we can't physically see with our eyes. That would be my big take-home there.
Does carbonated water affect tooth enamel?
Yes, is the answer to that question, if in high volume and in high frequency. It's like everything else, anruthis anavis untuk, the thing that seldom is wonderful. But if we take a lot of fizzy drinks, they will actually affect the outer coating of the tooth. So the outer coating of the tooth is the enamel. That's the shielding, if you like, the armour that keeps our teeth nice and hard and structurally sound. As we get older, Pat, there are three different types of tooth wear that can occur: erosion, attrition, and abrasion. So erosion is the one that's caused by acid attack. That can be from carbonated drinks on a regular basis, or indeed gastric reflux that can happen as well. So these are kind of the telltale symptoms and signs that we see when a patient presents to the dentist. So again, a very good history being taken by the dentist, and a look at the dietary intake here, particularly of carbonated drinks and fruit juices as well.
But carbonated water?
Not so much, really.
It's only CO2. We're breathing that stuff out.
It is, yeah, exactly. And it goes back to my thing about anruthis anavis untuk, the thing that seldom is wonderful.
What can I do apart from interdental brushing to stop bad breath and bleeding gums?
Again, a terrific question here. So, again, a couple of things I'd say here, and I think this caller is probably aware of it already. So maintenance is the big thing. So, again, regular brushing twice a day with a fluoridated toothpaste, flossing between the teeth, using their interdental brush. And then with regard to the bad breath itself, I'm often thinking broadly and laterally here. So foodstuffs, obviously avoiding garlic and things that are going to smell your breath. Get a checkup to make sure there's nothing else going on. Sometimes there can be decay within the teeth themselves, and they form almost like a reservoir, if you like, for bacteria to grow and multiply. So that can contribute to bad smells and bad breaths. And finally, depending on the age group here, Think broadly and systematically as well. It could be tonsillitis. We often see that with children of a particular age. But the do's and don'ts would be drink plenty of water, watch the foodstuffs, keep the maintenance going, go to your dentist for a checkup to make sure none of the above is happening. And then if this patient is older, where we're seeing a decrease in salivary rate, and that can happen quite regularly, particularly with an aging population where they're taking medications that cause dry mouth. If there is a dry mouth, then there's less frequency of salivary rate, and that can cause issues with regard to bad breath.
My 11-year-old has to get a tooth out next week. I would love to get some advice on how to keep him calm. He's very nervous about this.
Oh, he would be. Exactly. Well, I speak both as a dentist and also, again, as a father of children. So I've been on the other side where my own children have had a tooth out. So importantly here, is this a baby tooth or is it a permanent tooth? As the child is 11, I'm probably thinking it's a baby tooth. And some important steps that we can take. The big thing really is to say that this is a very, very short visit. And again, your dentist, I'm sure, will explain the steps involved, but to briefly kind of go through them with your son or daughter before you go in. So normally when we're taking out a tooth, we put a little bit of an anesthetic gel, a topical gel that freezes the gum before we get our little injection, which puts the tooth to sleep, not the patient. That's important to remember. Again, a short visit, and importantly that there's probably a permanent tooth coming up from underneath, and it's important that they understand this is all part of progress. But good luck, and I'm sure they'll do fine, and maybe I promise a treat afterwards, maybe Frozen 2 or go to the cinema.
I've been told to clench that I clench my teeth at night when I sleep, and as a result of this, my temporomandibular joint in my right jaw moves out of place during the night frequently. Now, I used to be able to get it back in, but it's become increasingly difficult to get it back in. Sometimes it's out of place for days, and it's very painful. The dentist said there's nothing to be done.
Okay, so a lot of people, Pat, have what's called temporomandibular joint dysfunction, which is a huge, big, long series of words. Basically, it's the jaw joint right at the back of where your teeth and jaws meet. And this is a joint, obviously, that we use an awful lot from chewing and talking and speaking. And quite a percentage of people will have some variability of dysfunction that's there. There are a couple of things here that we can talk about. One is there's a series of exercises which can help. That's one thing. A second thing is you can do what's called splint therapy. So your dentist may recommend, getting a splint to cover usually your top teeth, a softer or a hard splint, which will help to maybe keep things aligned properly as you sleep. And then in really seriously dramatic cases, surgery can be indicated as well. But I'm assuming from this case, this is probably a lower grade that's there.
Had a gum abscess treated with antibiotic and flagyl. Dentist wanted to remove the underlying tooth as a high chance of infection recurring, but I'm hoping to keep this molar tooth. Could a periodontist help in any way in this situation? That's from Susan.
Okay, that's a good question. And thank you, Susan, for the question. So a gum abscess by its nature, if it has responded to an antibiotic, suggests that there was infection and indeed bacteria there. By completing the course, the infection is gone and the abscess, of course, collapses. My question here would be, is it related directly to the tooth? Has the tooth been fractured or broken? In which case, the chances of saving the tooth are slim to none. If it is, as I think is suggested here, that it's a gum infection rather than an actual tooth dying off, then certainly a periodontist would be in order. And then finally, if it's a case that the tooth itself has died off and there's quite a bit of structure left behind it, then root canal treatment would be an option. So root canal treatment is where we clear out the actual canals of the tooth itself, fill it, and then restore the tooth. So
my 11-year-old daughter's frenulum seems to become detached. We are waiting for a follow-up appointment next Monday. My big concern is that she's due to start orthodontic treatment in the coming weeks. Will it affect it?
Yes, exactly. So if this is an upper or lower is the question. Depending on the braces that are being placed, I'm presuming the braces are being placed, it can do. Yes, absolutely. And perhaps the best advice here would be your own orthodontist to get a look to see before we start orthodontic brace therapy.
One more, maybe. Can you ask the dentist this. My mother has been advised by her dentist to have teeth removed due to gum disease. Mm. As you can imagine, this is quite distressing. Are there any other options that could save her teeth?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, let's get a full look at exactly what condition her teeth and gums are in. I'm sure if there's salvageability there, we'd like to see that rather than lose them. But the big thing really is, depending on obviously her age and what her medications are, that can have an influence as well. But also just how structurally sound are these teeth? They could well be lost causes, but again, your dentist is probably best placed to take a look at that. They'll take x-rays and also do a little gum measurement around there.
And finally, mouthwash good or bad?
Mouthwash good. Mouthwash absolutely
good. All of them?
Oh, yeah, most of them, yeah. I mean, I would say any of them that are medicated, and again, read the label very closely. Fluoridated ones are very good. Chlorhexidine ones, Corsadil daily, Listerine, they're all very good. There's good market leaders out there.
On that note, Paul O'Dwyer, Group Clinical Advisor at Dental Care Ireland, thank you very much for joining us. That's all we've time for.